That's another good. What'd you drink this morning? You're on fire. That's good.
I had a lot of time to think. I was waiting for you.
Four or five. I was getting the steam towel and, exactly. and the VIP treatment. You had to wait and came up with all these great thoughts.
You are now listening to The Waggle, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
That's right. This is the Waggle podcast brought to you by the CFL.
I'm David Sanchez, and that's Donovan Bennett.
And you just got a haircut, my friend.
I did get a haircut because I was a little late this morning. Let's be honest. I'm a little late because I was running around trying to get cleaned up. And my partners at Sport Cliffs slid me in the chair, got my normal beard edge up and line up. A lot of guys have beards these days. So
how are you getting a haircut and you're late when you don't have any hair to cut? You must have had the full MVP experience.
That's why I was late.
Okay. I hope you weren't late for your appointment, because when you go to Sport Clips, please be on time. We don't want a queue to back up, because everyone wants to get in those seats. Everyone wants to watch their favorite sporting event. Everyone wants that hot steam towel, that neck massage. So be on time for your Sport Clips appointments. I am gladly going to wait for you to do this podcast because we have a lot to talk about. Some good, some not so good.
Is it rude if I'm in the chat? I was running a little bit late and my guy asked me, do you have, I told him I was a bit late. He said, do you still want the massage and the towel? And I have to confess, I did stay the extra few minutes and get that because I just wanted to leave feeling relaxed.
Well, I mean, my next question would be, well, do you have anyone behind me? Right? Like, do you have the time? And if you had someone behind me, then I would say, no, I'm cool. If you didn't have anyone behind me, I would say, sure, I'll take it. But then I got to tip a little extra. I got to put a little bit more on it.
But I made you wait. That's the point. I was okay at Sport Clips. It was you I made wait.
Oh, you're asking about me personally?
Yes. Is it okay that I...
I
apologize.
I would prefer not to wait, here we are. I would not wait for all people, but you, your football acumen, your football expertise is worth waiting on. It's worth subscribing for, liking, sharing with a friend. So make sure you do that with this podcast. And that's because we are going to give you the hot fire takes. And Davis will keep it about 83.7. He's not going to keep it 100. But I'm going to keep it 100. I was wrong. This is a confessional for me. I hated on Saskatchewan Rough Riders quarterback room, said they need to make some moves because it's not looking good. I said to Ottawa in the offseason, listen, if you have two quarterbacks, that means you don't have one. And really, the outlook was not looking good for either team, in my estimation, once that Caleros went down and once Trevor Harris left the East and went to the West. I am proven wrong because the two young Bucks stepped up. Cody Fajardo, Dominique Davis in week two in their second weeks of starting this year look like they took over the job. Like that's their football team.
Well, I mean, more I think in the Dom Davis case, that's only been 1 week of excellent football, I think, from Cody Fajardo.
But you said they were going to throw the ball down the field, get aggressive, that it wasn't just going to be 1920s wishbone offense running all over the place. And you were right. They pushed the ball down the field.
I mean, you got to look at the game plan coming in. If you're a defensive coordinator of the Ottawa Redblacks, you're pretty certain that the defensive coordinator is going to take away take away the run, stack the box, take away the short, easy throws that would seem to fit what Cody Fajardo does and what he's comfortable with, and so that's why I expected that. And even the same on the other side, you think Dom Davis and Cody as well, but they proved the coordinators prepping for them wrong. They proved, I think, the fans wrong. They proved Vegas wrong with the line of over-under being the shortest line for an over-under total in the last five seasons, I believe. But they had to prove they could make those throws, they could fit it into windows, and they did. And that's what you're going to do. Every good coach, DJ, the first thing you want to do is, what's the Bill Belichick? You want to take away the other team's left hand. I mean, you take away the best thing they do. And for Cody Fajardo and Dom Davis, we thought that the best thing they did was RPO, run the ball, option, things of that nature. But and it probably still is. but they've also showed they're capable of having big passing games.
I don't think you want to take away the left hand. You want to make them play left-handed.
That's exactly correct, DJ. That's why you're here.
Most people in the world are, in fact,
I was talking about Mo Pete.
Right.
And James Harden.
Or RJ Barrett. Shout out to the youngster from Mississauga.
Or
third overall.
Or Tim Tebow.
I mean, I think...
You got one more?
Well, no, you don't have to take away...
Cade McNown.
Any hand from Tim Tebow, unfortunately.
Wow.
Did you know that 70 to 95% of humans are right-handed? Did you know that?
I know that.
Now you know. We have youngsters. I think we should try and force them to be left-handed so they can make more money as baseball pitchers. Or actually, there was a point in time when scouts looked down on left-handed quarterbacks because you kind of had to change your protections. You tried to change your progression a little bit. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think Steve Young kind of said, yeah, no, us lefties can get it done. But you don't see left-handed quarterbacks a lot. But I suppose that's because 70 to 95% of the people on this earth at any given time are right-handed. Dominique Davis is right-handed, and he had himself a week two. But actually, before I get to him, because I was more impressed with his ascension than I am Cody's, because I thought he made plays where I thought Cody... plays were schemed for him. But I will say, after we said, you know, they should try and give Kevin Glenn the bag to get back there, a lot of mentions were sent our way. A lot of tweets were sent our way from Rider Nation, who never is quiet. And they pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, were like, no, we don't need Kevin Glenn. We've got Cody Fajardo. And I was like, all right, we'll see how well that goes for you. And it actually went pretty well in week two. So, again, Rider Nation, we know you listen. We know you are forceful. A mea culpa for myself. I apologize. But Dominique Davis was more impressive in terms of what he did from week one to week two. Week one, 29 completions for 276, zero TDs, but four INTs is what troubled me. But it was literally the opposite performance. 30 of 39 in week two for 354, but more importantly, three touches, zero INTs, and his average yards per attempt, to your point of having these young guys push the ball down the field and not be check down Charlie. He averaged 9 yards per attempt in week two. That's 3 yards per attempt better than his performance in week one. I love the confidence that both programs have shown in their young quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dom Davis right now is second in the league in passing behind the quarterback that he replaced in Trevor Harris. They're going to have a tough test in the next couple of weeks. I know that in week four, they have the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So 3 out of 4 weeks, they're going to have tough Western opponents. So they've shown, or Dom Davis has shown it. And how about Winston October? Let's give credit to that. Their mm-hmm. OC. I think he's called a masterful game. He's put Dom in a position to be successful. Dom's made all the throws. And when he made mistakes, he bounced back from them. But he made that throw on the roll. Look at that play in particular. It was a run pass option. And they had a tight end and a running back in the game. So four receivers, a tight end, a running back, and they faked the run, faked the swing pass, and then had J.C. Bolio, the tight end, run a corner route with Dom Davis rolling out. Now, you got to respect him, that quarterback, getting to the edge. And when you do, when he gets out there, he's got a lot of time to throw the ball. And he dropped a dime to J.C. Bolio in the end zone for a touchdown. But that throw in between two defenders on the run to his right, if he can make that throw consistently – they're going to be tough to beat, because if you don't respect it, if you don't respect the run there, they're just going to hand the ball off to Moses Madu. And if you do, he has a very good chance of getting to the edge. And if he can make that, like I said, if he can make that throw, that's a pretty tough, that's going to be a pretty tough play to stop.
Who needs Jaime Elizondo? Stand up, Winston October. Get your money. I want to talk about quarterbacks as well, and you mentioned Dom Davis being second in terms of passing to Trevor Harris, who's playing lights out, 6 TDs on the year, 0 INTs, thrown for 741 yards in his 2 games. And, he's just completing 77% of his passes. He's great in terms of just slinging it 5-step, 7-step, on a roll, either direction. But when you talk about the total package of a quarterback, control of your team, huddle, being able to pull it down and run, be able to make plays off schedule, if we take the names off the jerseys, take what they've done before in the past, take the amount of rings that they have in their trophy room.
Where are you going with this?
And we just came and watched film, not knowing anything about the league or who the guys are, and we were evaluating quarterbacks. I need you to tell me if I'm keeping it real or doing too much. If we were just watching quarterbacks play right now across the league, would we not say, man, Jeremiah Masoli's best quarterback in CFL? The way he is playing right now, the way he ended the year last year, the way he's playing right now, he's completing 67% of his passes, 4 TDs on the year,
say we
one
ended
INT.
Ended last year. You just said it only for this season. If we're watching what we have,
true.
This
all
year.
Right, fair enough.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Two.
So just watching the film that we have,
you
of
think Jeremiah,
two games.
Jeremiah Masoli would be the best after two games. Jeremiah Masoli would be the best quarterback.
What can't he do?
Well, Trevor Harris is the best quarterback after two games. There's no question about it. Coming into the year, I would have rather had Jeremiah over Trevor, but after two games, Trevor Harris is the best quarterback, bar none. Jeremiah wasn't good in week one, first of all. He had like 160-some yards. He looked great last week, but it was against the Argos, who I thought was going to have a good defense, and you want to go back into the archives and hear. If you want to prove that I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm wrong, it's going to be easy for you. Just go in the archives and listen to me talk about this Argos defense. And I was wrong. But to your point, DJ, I think you're not off. Jeremiah Masoli is one of, and just like he was last year, though, one of the best quarterbacks in this league. And you could argue that he is the best. But if you're asking me who's the best, it's Trevor Harris without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
if I need someone for fantasy,
I think it's Trevor Harris. But what I'm talking about, making throws from different windows, different arm angles on the run, being able to tuck it and run, being a threat, being able to help the running game, holding down linebackers and defensive ends on the backside, carrying out a fake. If I'm just grading out football players,
talent.
Yeah, he checks all the boxes. He's now 6-1 in his career against the Argos, which Tiger Cats fans, first order of business, beat Toronto. Second order of business, beat everybody else. They score a TD on 6 straight possessions. We talk about who needs Jamie Elizondo, who needs June Jones, because my fear for Hamilton was how comfortable Masoli looked with June Jones running the team and running that offense. My guy looks just as comfortable. And we're going to get into Toronto, don't you worry. Part of that could have been the opposition, because that looked like a controlled scrimmage at times. But I think part of it is the ascension of the quarterback, who I think is now, well, if we're talking tiers, he and Trevor Harris should be in that conversation with Mike Riley and Bo Levi Mitchell.
I would agree. I would agree with you.
All right, well, I'm sure you agree that, let's say positive for as long as possible. We wanted to see a good defense at BMO Field. We thought it was going to be Toronto, but really it was the Ticats defense. And looking comfortable, Orlando Steinhauer really looks comfortable as head coach. And part of it is because he has a defensive coordinator who probably is overqualified to be a coordinator, could be a head coach in this league. Their defense, forget about what they allowed. They scored 17 points. They outscored the Argos by themselves. 4 sacks, 2 INTs, 1 TD. That defense in the hammer looks nasty.
Yeah, they look real good. And starts up front with that defensive line who was all over the place. And I know there's been a lot of Simone talk, but that pick was impressive. Say what you want, hate him if you want to, but if we're talking about his play, he was all over the place. He was excellent. And I think that I think Glenn Suter used the expression rope-a-dope. He said it was almost like Hamilton was playing rope-a-dope with the Argos in the first quarter and then just knocked them out. And that's kind of, I thought it seemed like it was going to be a close game. It started for a little bit, and then they just turned it on. And they had no answer. The Argos really had no answer when I rewatched to try to see what I saw from James Franklin. Because we want to know, everyone has to, you want to give an opinion of what you saw. Was it the system last year? Is James the truth like the people thought he was coming from Edmonton as a backup? He didn't play well. Would you agree?
Nobody played well.
He also didn't. I didn't see receivers running open that he was missing. I didn't see reads that he just wasn't making. So, to be fair, I'm not ready to say James Franklin isn't that guy or was not going to be have a good year or the Argos offense isn't going to be good. I didn't see guys open. So were they being clamped up by what I think is one of the top two secondaries in the league and one of the best D-lines in the league? I think so.
Before we talk Franklin, I want to put the Simone conversation to bed. You mentioned the term rope-a-dope. That's pretty much what he did on that interception. I don't know if there is a linebacker who's better at getting to their zone landmarks than he is. And there's two different types of linebackers dropping and getting to lone landmarks. One is as a deterrent. Hey, I want to get here so you go somewhere else with the ball, right? Which is good, right? You we're watching film. You were graded out positively on that play. We're moving on to the next play. Simone, and I'd put Big Hill in this conversation, I don't actually want you to see me get to my landmark. I want to get there, and I want to make a play. I want to make a splash play. I want to get an interception. I want to make a hit on a receiver who has no idea that I'm coming. And that's what we saw in that play, where if you're looking at it, you're like, where are you throwing the ball? But Simone was never seen on that play. That's why he's special and why I'm sure you know everyone on Toronto's offensive staff is like, man, when is this ruling going to happen? Does he have to play against us? I know we got a break because Tasker is not playing against us. It would be real nice if he's not playing as well. James Franklin is a young quarterback needs one of two things, if not both. They need a great defense to give them confidence. Hey, don't worry, young fella. Three and out, it's all good. It's three and out coming right back to you. Stay in the game. We're good. You know what? We got a couple picks. We got a knockdown. We got a forced fumble. We're giving you a short field. Make a couple plays. We got a field goal. Make a couple more. We got a touchdown. Or they need a great offensive line so that they are just seeing everything easy, clean, unbothered on a plate, and that it feels like practice. It feels like 7-on-7. It feels like on air because all I'm thinking about is my reads and where I'm going with the football. I'm not thinking about the pass rush. I'm not thinking about escaping. I'm not thinking about the hot necessarily because my offensive line has all that covered. And my offensive line is keeping me on schedule because my run game is nice.
You made a great – I'll say a great point. You made an interesting point. I'm not willing to say it's great quite yet. I might later on. But you think that the two things a young quarterback needs, you don't throw great receivers into the mix. And it's is it because you think that a young quarterback – and we're basically talking about these guys. We're talking about Dom Davis. That's what you're referring to. Cody Fajardo, who's not young, but he's young in his starts. And Dom Davis, also young in his starts. Mm-hmm. You feel like it's more important to protect these guys with – and the two things, to your point, to protect the quarterbacks are the defense – or a good defense and a good offensive line. You think that's more important than having a creative play caller? Because some people, if you ask what's most important to a good quarterback, they say a creative play caller or – great wide receivers, but you think your point is it's more important to protect those guys. Is that why?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think defensively as well, protecting them, not having the game get away from you. Oh man, they're running up and down the field. They're possessing the ball for so long. Now I'm on the sideline getting antsy. Now I feel like I have to make a play. When a play's not there. And you can just be calm, go through your reads, stay on schedule. And you know what? If we have 3-4 possessions where we punt, that's okay because it's a one-score game because our defense is playing well. Or because their defense has got us some momentum because they made a big play or they scored themselves. So you can Trent Dilfer it if you have a great defense and a good offensive line, which leads to a good run game, because if you've got a dominant offensive line, you can put anyone back there and they'll be able to get 5-6.
I never thought of it like that, but I agree with you. That's it. So now it's a great point. Is it fair that if I agree, it's a great point?
I think if our listeners agree,
that's true.
It makes it a great point.
That's true.
But I
don't want all of our listeners to agree with us all the time.
That's true. Like, that's true. Don't worry.
I don't even agree with myself half the time.
That's true. But I think this Argos team, I'm not willing to say great, but I think they have good receivers. Darrell Walker, SJ Green, Armani Edwards, your top three, right?
Darrell Walker.
Four and five on most teams are going to be relatively interchangeable. You'll have some years where Calgary's four, five, six, seven were great.
Good, what'd you drink this morning? You're on fire. That's good.
I had a lot of time to think. Hey, I was waiting for you.
Four or five, because I was getting the steam towel and the VIP treatment. You had to wait, and you came up with all these great thoughts. That last thing you just said, four or five or three, four or five, interchangeable. That's true. A lot of teams. That's a fact. I want to say one thing and loud and clear, and there's no doubt about it. Darrell Walker is the best receiver in the Canadian Football League, bar none. So I watched the film again last week and saw the routes he ran. He's the best receiver in the league. I don't care. Tweet me, at me, do what you gotta do. I watched the film. Film don't lie. Darrell Walker's the toughest guy in the league to handle.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this would go to play calling.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, the game wasn't in the balance. The game was over. But why, when you need to make a play, is he motioning in the backfield and blocking on the backside? If you spent how much this offseason? You gave him the
bag,
the MLSC treatment. We're going to TFC. We're going to Raptors. We're putting you up in a suite in the Shangri-La. We're doing all that. And we're having you motion and you're taking care of the backside tear?
Answer.
That's what we paid you to do? The Ticats went and got Kalinic in the draft to do.
Yeah,
and
shout out to Nikolai Kalinic.
And he'll do it happily.
Yeah.
But, right. I mean.
The only answer I will use for that is if they saw, to be fair to Jacques Chapdelaine, if they saw earlier in the game that on second down they were doubling, bracketing Darrell Walker, good offensive coordinators will use that against them is motion them. And as the play's going on, I've been in a defense before where, you know, you're chasing a guy across the field in motion, you're pointing at the guy you're bracketing, which is, if for those of you that don't know, you're double teaming him with two guys, the man that would be me, the corner covering him with a halfback and then a safety. As you're running across, you let the safety know, hey, we're gonna bracket, and then all of a sudden the ball snapped, he stops in the backfield, you got two guys wasted that are not able to add to the blitz and are not able to go double team somebody or get deep, and now you have one-on-one in other places in the field. That's the only way I would say.
I hear you, but they're not wasted, and here's why. Because the way I look at many things in life, and I look at football and plays and play calling this way, is who benefits? Who benefits from this interaction? So they're double teaming Darrell Walker on second down, let's say. So to your point, two guys wasted. We're going to give him some extra protection because on the Waggle podcast, Donovan, DJ said, we really need to protect our quarterback, so that's what we're doing. If you went to the Hamilton defensive staff and you told them, hey, guess what? On second down, the money down, their best receiver, the guy who Davis Sanchez says is the best receiver in the league, is not going to be running a route. He's going to be in the backfield blocking, and you're going to waste two defenders, but you're not going to have him running a route. Are you okay with that outcome? They'd be like, that's great. We'll take that. So they're wasted, but they're not wasted because ultimately who benefits? Hamilton benefits if Darrell Walker's not running routes. Even if he's double teamed, fine. Go 4-by-1. Put him on the short side by himself. Make a decision. If you're going to put the safety over there, fine. We're playing the other half of the field with Armani Edwards and SJ Green.
Great point.
I just don't see any situation, unless it's like short yardage running the ball. And even still, I don't want someone falling on his knees.
You also you're on another show, Tim and Sid. Shout out to your other employment. And you guys have a, you know, like a buzzer or something that alert something. So can we together, or maybe the listeners, maybe can you think of something that we can buzz, tap, or acknowledge when DJ makes a good point? Because that right there, that's strong. That's a great, I mean, to your point. And it's not, listen, for those of you listening thinking, well, he's not a genius. That's nothing that's genius. I agree. It's not genius, but it is a great point or a great conversation to say, look, if I'm a defense and I just came up with the point to say, hey, it's a good job because now you're having those two defenders who are sitting there. And that's probably part of the reason why. That's the reason why they have Darrell Walker back there is because they know that they're getting a double on that. And now those guys are not going to be able to double him. But I think, to your point, this is where the bzzz, whatever you want to, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a- if you believe that if you ask the defense, Darrell Walker not going to be out there on second down and we'll go man everywhere else, they'll say yes. Because what's your point of a double team is trying to stop them from throwing the ball there. And a lot of times, good receivers, not just Darrell Walker, they'll still go up and make a play and beat a double team. So to your point, I agree with you.
And even in a situation where, let's say, you are seeing double teams against him, so you want to motion him back in terms of blocking, well, that takes out any sort of screen game that you would give to him. Maybe he's going to, you know, have a little slow me block. I'm going to act like I'm blocking you, but, you know, you slalom past me, and then we're getting the ball to Darrell Walker on an inside screen or outside screen. Well, if he's being double teamed and you're bringing those guys into the box, that takes away those play calling options as well.
Okay, DJ, calm down. You're not Josh McDaniels here. Let's slow down. I give you too many props now. Now you're going off the board. Now let's go to BC Lions. And what the heck happened to Mike Riley? And
well, the Argos are not going to get off that easy.
Okay.
Because 64 points allowed. We were talking about their offense. We didn't talk about their defense.
Go ahead, Josh McDaniel.
Most in franchise history. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest home losses we've seen in the CFL. Last year, they lost to Calgary at home to start the year, 41-7. This is twice now on Ricky Ray Day, where he probably could have came out of the stands and helped that team. Twice now to start the year where you had your bigger crowds, some momentum in the
nice
city.
Crowd out there.
Real nice crowd. I mean, a lot of Hamilton Tiger Cat fans because of it, but it was a beautiful day. So momentum in the city with the Raptors winning and a parade, and people just want to have some civic pride, want to see some sports, and the Blue Jays are not doing it. This was an opportunity wasted. And Pride weekend as well. And Jim Pop was at the Pride Parade the next day, you know, representing for the Argos and for the CFL. The problem was the day before his team didn't play with any pride because that was a high school beatdown and a lost opportunity because you only have 9 home dates. This is an organization that needs some positive momentum, and that's not helping. That's not going to help kind of ticket sales. If they go 9-9, they want those 9 wins to be at home in front of their fans. It's now a trend where, again, they got beat down at home to start the year against Calgary last year. But the other thing I'm looking at when I look at that game is James Wilder, 6 carries for 12 yards. This is a team who signed everybody who's a running back in the offseason, yet their main guy only got 6 carries. And Jim Pop now was tasked to replace a great quarterback in Montreal with Anthony Calvillo. That didn't happen. Now he's tasked to replace a great quarterback in Ricky Ray. So far, the returns are not there. It's the hardest thing to do in sport is to replace a great player. And the hardest thing to do in our sport is to replace a good quarterback. Jim Pop now is trying to do it for the second time, replace a Hall of Famer and keep a team competitive.
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do except for surround, like my man DJ says, surround that guy with a good defense because that's easier to build. So I'm the good defense and a good offensive line that I don't know if they have. I don't think they have. I would say their offensive line is in the bottom third of the league when I look at offensive lines. Until they show me anything differently, I'm putting them down there. And as a matter of fact, the BC Lions are the only ones who I'm certain are worse. And that was just because of their performance. I thought – I said in the preseason that I thought the BC Lions offensive line was a bottom half of the league O-line. After that performance, I think they're probably the bottom until I see something different. That was a terrible performance, but I don't think Toronto's offensive line is great either. Shout out to the Ottawa Redblacks going all 5 Canadians on offensive line and doing the darn thing.
Don Matthews style. Well, we in this offseason, we talked about free agency and allocation of resources in Cap League. We wondered how good is Mike Riley relative to the other guys that are in that tier or just below. And does it make sense to pay him all that money if you can't protect him? Or does it make sense to pay a Trevor Harris and then use the excess to go get a Sir Vincent Rogers or a Greg Ellingson? Now, Rogers is obviously hurt, but Mike Riley sacked a league high 8 times in 2 games, was taken out 7 times against the Eskimos in a week 2 loss against his old club. That's not great management of that asset that you have. If you're putting all that money towards him and you're struggling to keep him upright.
Let's give credit to the Edmonton D-line. Mm-hmm. They told me that they were the best defensive line in the league. Their defensive line coach tweeted out that this is the best D-line. And that's the guy that knows something. You'll be very familiar with who their D-line coach is. It's Demetrius Maxey, former Toronto Argonaut. Great, mm-hmm. A great CFL player for a long time, a defensive lineman in his own right. And he said it. He tweeted it out unabashedly. This is the best defensive line in the league. This is the best group in the league. And they showed it. You look at those interior guys. You know about Amondo Sewell, but not a lot of people know about Moore. And Moore was absolutely kicking the crap out of 67, who is, I think it's Valancourt or Hunter Stewart. I think it's Hunter Stewart. Anyway, Hunter Stewart for whoever 67 is the center for the Lions. I think it is Hunter Stewart. Valancourt's not there. Hunter Stewart just got his butt kicked. I mean, consistently. He was either they were running games and beating him with the game, or they were he was just reaching them and snatching through, ripping through. He was every time he tried to put his hands on Mike Moore. Mike Moore, he just completely dominated and was in his face. And then you look at on the outside of that defensive line. I mean, Kwaku Boateng, yep, he did his thing. But Nick Usher was the man. He was Nick Usher is going to be a very good player in this league. But yeah, Mike Moore and Amondo Sewell inside just were all in the kitchen of Mike Riley. Mike Riley did not have time to throw. Mm-mm. He did not. That's kind of a obvious statement, but he didn't even have time, DJ. And this is what my argument is: didn't even have time to get to his hot reads, because at the time when he was set to throw the football, three step or five step, when I stopped and paused the film, there wasn't even receivers looking back for the ball. So the depth of where the routes were too deep for the time that they were trying to get the ball out.
Well, I don't know if you saw this on the film. There are times when Mike Riley didn't have time to look where he was throwing the ball because there's so much pressure that he was throwing and ducking, just throwing to a spot, hoping, wishing on a prayer that he could get a pass completion. And you mentioned Nick Usher. Nick Usher was screaming, yeah, yeah. He's in the backfield nonstop, was wrecking havoc. Mike Riley shaves the beard. I don't know if he went to Sport Clips to do it. Mm. You went to Sport Clips to take care of your beard. But maybe just grasping at something to change the flow, the feeling around there, because it was not good. I mean, maybe he's going to stop wearing hats. I don't know. But something's got to change in BC. And they've got, you know what, you're trying to get off a losing streak. Guess what? You get to go to Calgary.
Coming off a bye, the Stamps, too. Losing a game at home upset and coming Stamps off team, a bye. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. BC's going to be 0-3 after this week.
Oh, wow.
That's not a shock statement. I mean, it is what it is. And I don't think – look, they've lost – I think they lost to Winnipeg, Edmonton, and they're going to lose to Calgary. So you are going to be 0-3, but – and they could win the game. It's not a foregone conclusion, but it's if I'm a betting man, which I am, Calgary's going to win that game. The issue is you played three of the best teams in the league, so that's – you know you're going to start off slow. If you're the BC Lions, those are the three teams you want to lose to.
Can you afford to start off slow in the West? I actually think the teams you want to lose to are teams in the East, because Edmonton plays Winnipeg this week on Thursday Night Football. One of those teams is going to be on the top in the top of the West. The other one is going to be right behind them in second.
Two undefeated teams.
Montreal at Hamilton. I mean, BC doesn't really care about that game. BC plays Calgary, to your point, if they go down. They're now 0-3, and then Saskatchewan gets Toronto at home in the desperation game to end the week in on Canada Day. This game I'm actually most intrigued to watch, because you have two new coaches situation.
Before you go there, can I finish saying why?
Sure.
Before we lose that thought, why BC, it's good they lost those games, or it's okay to lose against those three teams?
Okay, yeah.
Because BC is a team that's going to take time to – there are a lot of new pieces.
Yeah.
They're going to take time to gel. We knew that. They might not be able to beat Winnipeg or Calgary or Edmonton in week 15. So at least if they're a better team in week 6 and 7 when they were playing the Montreals and Torontos and whoever else they think is at the bottom of the league, Saskatchewan, they have a chance to win those games they should win versus losing those early when they're not haven't gelled yet. Make sense?
Yeah, I mean,
they might not be able to beat Winnipeg, and BC's going to take time to gel, regardless. So if they were, you'd rather lose. In my opinion, you never want to lose, but in my opinion, you'd rather lose a game to a very good team that you might not beat in week 15 when you're rolling anyway. If you want to play, you don't want to lose to Montreal and let's say you think Montreal and Sask are the two and Toronto the bottom teams in the league right now. If you don't want to lose those teams early in the season when you think your team's gonna be better later.
I don't think you ever want to lose to teams in your division, especially I get it. How competitive this division is. Because let's say BC goes 0-3, and to your point, they've lost to three great teams, three teams that are all very good. But here's the issue. Just to get to 500, which may not be good enough certainly won't be good enough to host a playoff mm-hmm. game in the West, mm-hmm. may not be good enough to make the playoffs in the West, you probably are looking at a crossover situation, mm-hmm. if that. To get to 500, they have to go 9-6 down the stretch for the rest of the year. Still playing in the West, still yep. playing a bunch of games against those tough teams. So that's why I think it's tough to lose lose that early to those teams specifically.
This is our first year working together. I've enjoyed it. I feel like we're starting to have some fun and give the listeners some interesting topics. The first
feel
few weeks might
coming.
Have been
feel a butt coming. Come on, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Give the listeners what they want, you know. But Cebulski used to argue with me like this. I mean, you need to tone it down a bit. I am the veteran of this group, and you need to once I make my point and then I give a rebuttal, you can't come back on a double rebuttal, or can you? What I mean, this is.
I don't like the term must win, because must wins are only the actual games that are must wins.
I sense a butt coming.
No, there is no butt. Oh, okay. I don't like the term must win.
Well, who's got a must win coming?
Nobody. That's okay. My point. Okay. So my point is I'm not going to be out here saying, the season's over, BC loses to Calgary, Calgary. But it's not a good look if they go 0-3 in the West.
Are they going to beat Calgary this week?
No.
They're not. Okay, well then, there you go.
Although as much as BC was not impressive, Calgary was not very impressive either. BC Lions looking to change things around. They signed American defensive back Brandon Dozier to a one-year contract.
What position are you going to play Brandon Dozier?
Something.
He's a free safety.
Secondary.
No, he's
somewhere.
Not a halfback or a corner. He's a good football player. I don't know where he's playing.
Does that mean that he's versatile, or that he doesn't have a position?
Both. I think Brandon Dozier to me is both. He's versatile, and he doesn't have a position. I don't see him as a starting halfback. I don't see him as a starting corner. I see him as a very good football player. He could play safety for me. That's the position I play him at. I don't know unless they need a swing guy who can dress, play special teams, and go across the board and fill in at all the spots. But he's not. I don't see him as a starter or any other spot.
Well, I think to your point, that's why the CFL is the only league where you could have a guy who's 25 who was an East Division All Star last year who had 5 interceptions.
Yes,
and. Started
not
the year
job.
Not
it's
on
crazy.
The team.
It's crazy.
This is only in the CFL.
I said that in free agency. I'm like, this guy is, when he didn't get signed, I'm like, this is an all-star player. But he's very good. A good football player. But unfortunately, you got to, in the CFL roster, you have to fit into a slot.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. And the BC Lions are desperate, but it's not a must-win. Toronto and Saskatchewan are desperate. I'm looking forward to that Canada Day weekend game. Enjoy your Canada Day weekend. Waggle folks, make sure to add us, hit us up.
Also give us some ideas. We need something like a word, a song, a noise, something, a good point monitor.
Well, our fans and listeners have been interactive on Twitter. That's what we love. They had some good ideas, so make sure you come with the good ideas. This has been The Waggle, brought to you by Sport Clips. It was delayed a little bit because Davis was at Sport Clips, but thanks for listening.